scripture reading for you, Genesis 22:1. Genesis 22:1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful for these opportunities we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm so thankful that somebody left me a snack up here. That must mean that I'm going to be up here for a little while, so I'm very thankful for that. Probably one of my kids, who knows. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way. Always thankful for visitors, and we want you to know that you are our most honored guests, and you are welcome back at each and every opportunity. We have switched teaching quarters, so thankful for our teachers. I don't want to miss anyone, but we're so thankful for Karen and Alice and Kate. Certainly thankful for Melissa. Thankful for Shane and Jody and Emma. And very thankful for Danielle, the teachers of our last quarter. It's so nice to have those teachers, and certainly that is definitely a work of the Lord to teach the young people, the next generation. We're so thankful for those teachers and the teachers that we have coming in this quarter. Denny and I are kind of ambitious. We try to fill out the year's calendar. We're about 3 teachers away from making the whole year work, which that is such a big accomplishment. And actually, as we kind of went full circle. We did 1 year of this teaching program that Denny's kind of tried to get off the ground, as I've tried to help and support as best I can. I was just reflecting on it, and I think the first year that we did it, we had so many veteran teachers that came out to help to fill those quarters, but also I think we had 4 or 5 people, it was their first time teaching, and that is kind of amazing when I look back and think on it. And actually, as we look into this new year that we're going into, we have at least 2 new teachers that we have that have kind of come in, and we are so thankful for that. It's definitely a challenge to teach, and we're so thankful for those that make the sacrifices to do that. Certainly a work of the Lord, no doubt about that. So certainly, and actually I was thinking about it also, we had some baptism from these age groups, and I know that there's some watering, and there's some planning, and certainly God gives the increase, but whenever there are people that put on the Lord in baptism, certainly, I know that doesn't happen without teaching. It just simply does not. And without our teachers, we miss a very valuable opportunity to water our young people, and certainly God will give the increase. This morning, if you open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, that's where we're going to be spending really our entire time. We're going to be talking about faith being tested. And I don't know if you thought about it before, but our faith will be tested. Abraham's faith was tested, and really, I think if we look throughout the Bible, every spiritual man and woman of God, our faith will be tested. And certainly, we think about faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. We hear what God says, but faith doesn't stop there. Faith has action. It has obedience. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 11 when we look at the Hall of Fame of faith. These are individuals that heard what God said, and they acted upon it. And certainly, we need to be those people. But what would be a test of faith? A test of faith, I believe, is when God asks us to do something that doesn't totally make sense to ourselves. And certainly, I think when we look at Genesis chapter 22, in many ways, if you're going to think about tests of faith, there are certain threads of tests of faith that God is going to tell you to do something that you don't fully understand, that you're really trusting in God. But really, when I think of Abraham and what goes on in Genesis chapter 22, maybe I do this wrongly, but it is kind of put up there at the top when I think of things that God asks people to do that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, you're talking about a test of faith. And we're going to see that Abraham comes through. Testing of one's faith is something that is going to happen. Throughout your life, your faith is going to be tested. God is going to ask you to do something that might not make 100% sense to you. It might not make sense to you on the physical plane of life. And you are going to be tested to follow through and trust and do what God has said. And certainly, we see people throughout the Bible tested. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it actually talks about these New Testament Christians. It talks about their faith being tested by fire. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, talking to New Testament Christians, it talks about their faith being tested by fire. Certainly, our faith can be tested in many ways. In Genesis chapter 22, we're going to see that Abraham's faith is going to be tested. I can't necessarily go through the whole background of Abraham, but we know that Abraham is really going to be the father of really the Jews, and we see that process take place. As God comes to Abraham and says, you are going to be basically my leader. I'm going to make you a great nation. And we have the seed promise that through your seed, all nations will be blessed. And at 75 years old, Abraham is said, leave your home. You think about that, 75 years old and told to leave your home. Certainly his faith was tested early on. And as he goes throughout his life, I think his faith is tested again and again. God says, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham and Sarah, they are old. I mean, Abraham is over the age of 75. His wife is getting up in age. And we have that process that takes place. You know, 75 is when he leaves. But there's this promise that he's going to have a child. But as he gets older and older, and Sarah is getting older and older, they kind of take things into their own hands. And at 86 around about, they have Ishmael. And God says, no. I said that you would have a child. They kind of said, we're going to help God out. And Sarah says, well, you can have Hagar, and they have Ishmael. And God says, no, Sarah and Abraham, you are going to have a child. You know, we think of Abraham's faith when he's 99 years old. 99 years old, he's circumcised. Why? Because God told him to be so. And here, as we get to chapter 22 of Genesis, Abraham has now had his son Isaac. So we are kind of in this frame where we're between 100 and on. And we understand that he is over 100 at this point. His faith has been tested. But as we see in chapter 22, in the first verse, what does it say? Chapter 22 of Genesis says, now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. The first thing I want to look at this morning is the test of Abraham's faith. There is a test that's going on. The Bible even uses the word, God tested Abraham. There is going to be a challenge to Abraham's faith. And I think that this is a significant challenge to Abraham's faith on multiple levels, as he is going to be asked to sacrifice his son. What a challenge that would be. What a test of an individual's faith. It's hard to consider. It's hard to contemplate. But we're going to see that Abraham is going to trust God, and he is going to go through this test of faith. As we look at Abraham and we see that his faith is tested, do we really look at ourselves and do we think that our faith will be tested? That as we go over the physical plane of life, if Abraham's faith was tested, if we see other men and women throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, if we see their faith is tested, do we really think that our faith will not be tested at some point in our life? That God is going to tell us something that is going to be challenging for us. Challenging for us perhaps physically to follow through with, or something emotionally to follow through with. To live the life which God wants us to live. But you start thinking about this challenge and this test. This challenge and this test. Let's look at verse 2. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. That's quite a challenge. And when we start to break this down, we start to realize how much this probably did not make sense to Abraham. Because he's really asking him to sacrifice two things, if you think about it. He's asking him to sacrifice the seed, and he's asking him to sacrifice his son. Well, what do you mean the seed? Well, Abraham was promised that through his seed all nations would be blessed. But we understand that is going to happen. We understand that is part of the equation. We understand that he's been promised a great nation. All these promises that God has laid out really is connected to this son. connected to the son, but connected to the seed. And I'm sure that Abraham was thinking, I waited 25 years to have a son. This happened around when he was 100 years old. At 75 is when he left Canaan. So he left Canaan. He said, he's got this promise that he's going to be a great nation. Around in his 80s, he has Ishmael. God says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And then around 100, I believe, is when he's going to have his son. So he waited about 25 years for this seed, this son, and now God says, I want you to give that son back. I want you to sacrifice your son. Certainly this was a test of his faith, as he considered that before him he had not only his seed, the seed promise, the seed of nation, the seed of the nations being blessed, all these aspects of the promise, but also he has his son before him. What a sacrifice God is asking Abraham to make by faith. Will he hear what God says? Will he try to follow through and do that which God has said? You think about the cost. You think about how this cost cannot be calculated. Really, all the promises are connected to this individual, and God is saying, we're going to knock that individual out. And not only that, but when you think about the dynamic of this is his son, his only son from him and Sarah, and we understand the emotional things. So really, when you think about it, there are some physical things that is a challenge to his faith, and there's some emotional things that are a challenge to his faith. And I don't think people think about that sometimes. If your faith can be challenged physically by God asking you to do certain things, and you do those things physically, but also your faith can be challenged emotionally. And I think his faith is challenged in both those ways. I think his faith is being challenged physically, and it's being challenged emotionally as he is contemplating the request. And verse 2 is just so powerful. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Physical, emotional, his faith is being tested. Now when you think of Moriah, this is believed to be in the Jerusalem area, and when we think about it, we can't help but stop for a second and think of some of the foreshadowing that's going on here, is where is Jesus going to be crucified? God's son, his only son. His son is going to be crucified there in about the same location. And we start to think about these connections and these foreshadowings. But an incalculable cost. We love our children. And certainly God acknowledges that as we see the command that's given out in verse 2. Your son, whom you love, your only son. We see the love connection. We think of that incalculable cost that's put there. Take your son and offer your son. And we certainly, for a second, it's hard, but we put ourselves in that situation. How would you respond to this test? This test of your faith that is physical and emotional. And if you think you're going to get out of your test of faith, you are mistaken. Because God's going to test your faith. You say, well, he's going to ask me to sacrifice my kids? I don't believe so. He might ask you to sacrifice something else, your life. Have you thought about that? It is a physical and emotional test that he's going through. Going to take his son and sacrifice his son. Well, God has a test of faith for you. Will you take your life? Your only life. And will you sacrifice it for the Lord? You say, God, is God asking me to sacrifice my life? I think certainly that's the idea that we get in the Bible. God might just test your faith by asking you to give what is most precious to you. He's asking Abraham to sacrifice what's most precious to him. Maybe God has already asked you to sacrifice that which is most precious to you. Perhaps it's your own life. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Have you ever thought that your faith is being tested, perhaps each and every day? It's being tested on the physical plane, it's being tested on the emotional plane, and this is a test that all spiritual individuals, really all individuals on the earth, our faith is tested. Will we do what God says, or will we not do what God says? Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to read all of chapter 11 of Hebrews, but we see a whole bunch of individuals of faith, and their faith is going to be tested. Hebrews chapter 11, if you turn over there, we're not going to read every single account there, but Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, what does that mean? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Apparently, Abel heard what he was supposed to offer to God, and he did what God said. You look at verse 7, and certainly I know I'm skipping some of the great stories in there. Verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. What did Noah hear? He heard about the flood, he heard about the destruction of the world, and he acted. All these individuals, they hear what God says, and they act. We look at verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. Asked to leave his home at the age of 75. We look at verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Joseph heard that the children of Israel would be going out of Egypt, that they would be going to the promised land, and he believed what God said, and he says, you know what? When we travel out, because I believe that's what's going to happen, even though it was 400 years or whatever the number was there, he believed that, he had faith, and he says, he believed enough to give instructions to his kids, when we go to Israel, carry my bones. Carry my bones. We look at verse 30, where it talks about Joshua. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had encircled them for 7 days. All of these individuals' faith was tested. If God told them something that perhaps didn't make 100% earthly sense to them, but they were determined to do whatever God says. We certainly think of all these individuals. We think of the worship that Abel offered. We think of all these situations that happened. We think of Noah and the ark. We think of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. We think of all these situations that happened. Their faith was tested. God told them something. And the question was, were they going to follow through and do what God had asked? Would you offer what is most precious to you? That is a test of faith. Would you offer God emotionally your best? Would you offer God physically your best? And I think that when we see Abraham here, his faith is being tested on a very high level. His faith has already been tested throughout his life, but it's being tested here. And we certainly understand, will we offer God what's most precious to us? Your faith will be tested in your life. Will you listen to God over self? You know, our voices, our internal voices are very strong. And a lot of times our internal voices lead us away from serving God and lead us away from doing those things that God would want us to do. Will you listen to God over self? You know, how are we saved? It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we're saved by grace through faith. But faith is hearing what God has said and doing what God has said. And if we don't do those things which God has told us to do, then perhaps we would not be saved by faith. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, these individuals, they hear what God says and they do it. They hear what God says and they do it. Have you heard what God has said and will you do it? Perhaps it will be a test of your faith. Not only do I want to talk about the test of Abraham's faith, but I want to talk about the trust of Abraham. Let's look at verses 3 through 10. You look at the first two verses. The first two verses, I think we really see the test of Abraham. Verses 3 through 10, we're going to see the trust of Abraham. Is that we are going to be tested, and the question is, will we trust God? It says, verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. When they came to the place which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there, and placed the wood in order, he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. Abraham trusted God. How much do you trust God? How much do you trust God? Like I said, when I think of acts of faith, maybe I do this wrongly, but I do put this pretty close to top. You ask me to walk around the walls of Jericho, that's kind of low cost, if you will. I mean, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some physical. But really, when I look at Abraham's test of faith, it is really a top physical test, and it's a top emotional test. It's such a significant test, and I think it's very significant because we have to parallel to the New Testament. Is Abraham is giving his best here, and we all know it. And what does God give us in the New Testament? He gives us his best, and we know it. We know that God gives us his best when he sent his son to be a sacrifice for us. But do we trust in the Lord? In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Do we trust God? Do we trust God through the good and bad? You know, I think of Job. You think of Job, he really lost everything. He lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost everything. And you know what he said in Job chapter 13 and verse 15? He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do we trust God? Do we trust God through the good and bad? Do we trust him through the tests that we face throughout our lives? And one of the biggest tests is, are we going to listen to the world or are we going to listen to God? That is the test of our faith. That will we trust God? Will we be faithful? Will we do those things that he has said? Will we be resolved, no matter what happens in this life, to trust God? Through the easy, through the hard, through the ups, through the downs, will we trust God? How much do you trust God? How much trust did Abraham have as he was walking to sacrifice his son, his only son that he loved so dearly? You know, I think about that road. I think about the road to Calvary, certainly, but I think about this road that he is walking. This is a journey. And we know that Abraham is over 100 years old at this point. And you think about it, the way it's phrased, I almost get the idea that he cut the wood, but he does have the 2 servants there. They could have cut the wood. But we've got Abraham, who's over 100 years old. He's kind of going on a journey, and he's going on to a journey where? He's going to Mount Moriah, which I'm sure has got some elevation. Last time I walked up a hill or a mountain, that's not necessarily the easiest thing to do. Abraham and the walk to sacrifice Isaac. That was a walk that required a deep faith in God. A devoted faith in God. In fact, when we look at verse 3, look how devoted Abraham is. In verse 3 it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took 2 young men with him and Isaac his son. And then it continues on. It says, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. You know, when I look at Abraham, he has trust in God. He has trust in God, and he has a working, active, obedient faith. Did he put off the sacrifices God asked him to sacrifice? It says he rose early in the morning. Would you raise early in the morning? Is your faith devoted and deep to raise early in the morning? You know, I don't think it's an accident. We do see a common pattern in Scripture that spiritual individuals raise early in the morning. I just think it's an interesting pattern that we see. And I think it's hard to get around that pattern. If we see spiritual individuals throughout the Bible raising early in the morning. Why? Because I think it's important. You know, when you have something important in your life, a lot of times you wake up early for that. Maybe you have an important meeting in the day. You might wake up early, a little bit extra, so you can get prepared and get ready. You've got work, you might be up a little bit early. Get prepared and get ready. This was important in Abraham's life, that he would be faithful and do those things which God wanted him to do, and he was ready to do that which God has asked. His trust and his devotion can be seen through his journey to sacrifice his son. We say, God doesn't want a sacrifice. Oh yeah, he wants a sacrifice. God wants a sacrifice of me? Yes, he wants a sacrifice of you. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it talks about a sacrifice that God wants. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, totally acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. I understand that Abraham is sacrificing his son. He is sacrificing his son. He's going through this emotional and physical test of his faith. And really, when we look at ourselves, God is maybe not asking us to sacrifice our son, but he's asking us to sacrifice ourselves. God is not interested in dead sacrifices anymore. He is interested in a living sacrifice, and that living sacrifice is you. Will you walk with a dedicated faith, with a devotion, to sacrifice yourself to God? To sacrifice yourself to God physically, to sacrifice yourself to God emotionally, to trust in God. Trust in God, come what may. Do you trust God through the good and bad? God is asking him to sacrifice the seed of the promises. He's asking him to sacrifice his son. He's asking him to sacrifice his best. Will we do the same when our faith is tested? Now, I think Hebrews chapter 11 is very helpful, because Hebrews chapter 11 gives us, I think, a little bit of Abraham's internal dialogue. I don't think we get his internal dialogue in Genesis chapter 22, but when we do get to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, it talks about this particular sacrifice, and it talks a little bit about his state of mind. It says, by faith Abraham, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, there's that word again, offered up Isaac, and he who had received promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, and Isaac your seed shall be called, accounting that God may be able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In verse 19, I kind of get the idea that Abraham thought, you know what, God is asking me to sacrifice my son. This makes no sense. Makes no sense, perhaps, on a moral plane. It doesn't make sense because all the promises are connected to him. It doesn't make any sense because he is my son. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But you know what? I have faith. I'll do what God has asked me to do. Do we withhold from God because we don't trust God? Do we withhold our money? Do we withhold our time? Do we withhold our service from God because we don't trust God? I think it's a question. Because Abraham, he is going through perhaps one of the biggest challenges and tests of faith, and we see him go through this process, and we're like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? I think Hebrews gives us a little idea. He's like, there's so much connected to my son in relation to the promises and everything else. You know, I trust God that he's going to make this right. That this is going to work out somehow. Perhaps he'll raise my son up. Do we withhold from God because we don't trust God? Abraham is not going to withhold his son, his only son that he loves, from God because he trusts God. Do we withhold from God those things which should be freely and willingly given? Abraham, I think as we look at it, he willingly and was ready to offer his son. We see his preparation and we see his planning. We see that he raises early in the morning. He has everything that's needed. Look at the conversation with father and son. In Genesis chapter 22 there, we have that conversation between father and son. And the son looks around, and what does the son say? He basically says, we are prepared, are we not? He says, we have the wood. We have everything. But he says one thing's missing, the land. You know, I wonder about this. Sometimes when I have conversations with people, I don't like to ad-lib. I like to plan out what I'm going to say. If I have a hard conversation or I have a conversation coming up, if I have a meeting coming up, I like to plan what I'm going to say. I'm not good on the fly. In fact, I usually shut down. In the classroom, if you called on me just out of the blue, say, Kyle, what do you think about this? I might have a right answer. I just shut down. I don't know if you were like that. The teacher would be doing a math problem on the board. They say, Kyle, what's the answer? I have the answer on my finger, but I just shut down. You know, I am a planner. I wonder if Abraham planned what he was going to say to his son. He knew he was going on a journey. He knows he was going to Mount Moriah. He knows he was going to sacrifice his son. Do you not think that he maybe thought about what he's going to say to his son when his son questions, where is the sacrifice? I don't know. If I put myself in a situation, I think I might have broke down. If I wouldn't have planned and thought about what I'm going to say. He says, God will provide. God will provide. We see the trust. We see the importance. This was not something that Abraham delayed on. He arose early in the morning and did all his preparations and he was doing all these things. And the thing is do we prepare to sacrifice ourselves? You know, it might seem silly. It might not seem silly. I don't know. I know the exact time that breakfast needs to be served Sunday morning. Why do I know the exact time that breakfast needs to be served Sunday morning? I do breakfast Sunday morning. It's not that good. I do breakfast Sunday morning. I know when breakfast needs to be served Sunday morning so we can get our three lovely children that throw all kinds of curveballs at us ready in time so we can do what we need to do. Abraham did his preparation so that he could worship, so that he could sacrifice his son. He did the preparation. Are we doing the preparation and the planning that is needed so we can make our sacrifice to God, so we can worship God in spirit and truth, so we can study His Word, so we can try to serve God as best we can? Are we doing the preparation? Are we thinking things through? Are we offering our best to God? Are we offering seconds to God? You know, I think of Malachi. Malachi is definitely an excellent passage to look at. Malachi chapter 1, really, just read all of Malachi. But Malachi chapter 1, there's a little thing that's mentioned about sacrifices in verse 8. It says, "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" You know, we have tests of faith in our life, and certainly we need to trust God, but I think trusting God is that we are willing to give God our best. We're willing to give our best emotionally, physically, and I know that tests us and that strains us, and many times it gets us out of our comfort zone, but are you trying to offer God your second best? Are you trying to offer God second best? Because in Malachi, it's interesting the word it said there. It said, "Would you offer the blind as a sacrifice?" You know, wouldn't you offer your best to God as a sacrifice? You wouldn't offer the blind, would you? It said, "Would you offer the lame to God as a sacrifice?" Surely you wouldn't do that. And then I love this verse. It says, "Offer it then to your governor." Oh, you think a blind sacrifice is good? You think a lame sacrifice is good? You go offer it to the governor then. Because you know you wouldn't offer it to the governor. You know, I think about this when it comes to our work lives sometimes. Certainly we need to work. We need to provide for our families. But I work for the government, I guess, you know, in some ways, when you think about it, the way funding works and everything. But in relation to teaching. But you think about that. Do I do a second best to my employer? Do I do a second best on the job? Certainly God teaches to give us the best in all aspects of our life. But what I'm saying is do we show up on time to the job? What about when it comes to God? What about when it comes to serving God? We cannot lose perspective. Our faith is going to be challenged. We're going to have to trust God. And certainly we cannot offer God second best. And certainly we want to trust God as we go throughout this life. You know, I think through this situation, it's just very powerful as we go through and you explore each and every piece, which we can't explore every piece. But certainly, if we here at Sandyville, if we all offered our best, what could we achieve for the Lord? Now, it's very easy to look at someone else's sacrifice. It's easy to look at somebody else and say, this person should be sacrificing more, or this person should be sacrificing more, or this person should be serving in this way. But eventually, we've got to look at the mirror and say, what are we offering to God as our sacrifice? Are we offering our best? Certainly, that's a challenge each and every day. We see the test of his faith. We see the test of his faith. We see the trust that he has, and we see the triumph that happens. We see the triumph that happens because we know that God is going to provide the replacement. And it's really powerful as we look at the situation and we explore and we dig deep into Genesis chapter 22 there. But we see the triumph that happens. We see that the Lord has provided a substitute in this case. So the son is not going to actually have to be sacrificed, but we see that he was willing to do that. And if we're willing to make sacrifices like that, how powerful will we be for the Lord? But in verse 13 and 14, it says, "Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there, behold, was a ram." Well, actually, verse 12. He says, "And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from men." His faith was tested and certainly comes through, and we see the triumph. And once again, we see that He sacrificed His Son, His only Son. We know that God is going to sacrifice His Son, His only Son. Now, in verse 11, it says, "The angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.'" Now, I don't have time this morning to make the argument, but I believe the angel of the Lord here in this case, I lean towards it's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ, one of the parts of the Godhead. Now, what's interesting about verse 11 is Abraham's about to sacrifice Isaac, and he yells from heaven, I believe it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ yells from heaven, what? "Abraham, Abraham." Question, why did he have to say Abraham's name twice? I thought about that. I don't know if I have the answer for you this morning, but here's what I think. I think he had to say Abraham's name twice because he was so focused in that moment that he was ready to do what needed to be done. Have you ever been so focused that somebody's got to say your name twice? Maybe you're working on some paperwork, or maybe you're doing something for the job, and you are focused, and you're in, and then someone's got to say your name twice. I think that's almost what's going on here. He is ready to do what God has asked. His faith is resolved. He is ready to do whatever God asks, and we see his trust in the Lord as he goes through this. But I think that's perhaps why his name needs to be said twice. It says, "Do not lay your hand on the lad, for do anything to him, for I know that you fear the Lord, since you have not withheld your son, your only son." You know, we think of the promises of God, we think of the power of God, we think of obedience. And certainly that is what God says, is he mentions obedience as he talks about, and he really talks about verses 15 through 18, he talks about the promise, and he talks about faith and obedience. And certainly that's something I think people forget about underneath the New Testament is certainly we need faith. And faith is pretty naked if it does not have obedience. In fact, as we look at James, we perhaps call it dead. Our faith in the New Testament, what might God ask you to do? Well, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, it says, "For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if we are Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You know, I view it as somewhat sad that baptism has become a great act of faith in the religious world. When you think of sacrificing your son versus being immersed in water, there are common trends. God has asked us to do something that I think doesn't make 100% sense on the physical plane of life, but we're going to do it. Why are we going to do it? Because God told us to. Perhaps you are here this morning. Your faith might be tested. You might have to do what God has asked you to do. And certainly if you need to be baptized, as we see in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 27, so that you can become a child of God, so that you can be in Christ where all spiritual blessings are. Perhaps that's a test of your faith. We would love to help you with that test of your faith today. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church this morning. We would love to help you in any way that we can this morning, is if you come as we stand as we sing.